Bruce in Hotwells. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, John.
Now, you've been campaigning for a rail network and rail improvements in our part of the world. Can you explain to me why a couple of bits of cable go missing and the whole thing grinds to a halt?
Yeah, I mean, infrastructure is vulnerable in this way, I suppose. So obviously the copper cabling, and copper's got a high scrap value, controls the signalling or the operation of the points. And if that cable is nicked, the signals don't work and it takes a long time to repair it and you simply can't run trains. And there's all sorts of sort of knock-on consequences of that, you know, because the network generally is very sort of overloaded and overcrowded. There's very little spare capacity. So you have all these knock-on effects of trains being in the wrong place and you know, other routes are blocked. And that line between Parkway and Temple Meads, you know, it's a very busy line. It's it's the sort of the railway equivalent of the M5. And so one of the things that is in the pipeline investment-wise is to four-track that, because there's currently only two tracks there. And when you're trying to mix local trains with intercity trains and freight trains and so on, that part of the network becomes overloaded.
But we've been talking about that, Bruce, four-tracking at Filton. As you say, there are only two tracks there at the moment, four-tracking. Yeah. We've been talking about that for a decade or more. And as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that is on the cards, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, it's a very, very frustrating thing for a rail campaigner that these projects take so long to happen. I mean, electrification's another one as well. I mean, electric trains are more reliable than diesel, so that's one of the things that we can hope to enjoy when the electrification does eventually.
But you can see that. You can see the gantries that are up for the cables. You can see that now. If you go along the M4, underneath that big metal bridge by the junction of M32, you can see the gantries for the cables. But four tracking, we've been talking about that for years. Why has that not happened? Is it lack of will? Is it lack of money? What's the reason?
It's all these things. It's politics. It's investment. There's a very tedious investment bureaucracy that happens in the railway. A thing called GRIP, where you have to go through various stages, which takes years and years and years. And yeah, it's very frustrating. And
so it's process. It's process we're talking
it's
here.
Process, yeah. But you compare it to road building, you know, the drop of the hat, it seems that politicians can get a bypass built, sometimes when it's not wanted. But for railway investment, we just have to constantly jump through hoops and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. It's very frustrating.
So explain to me again why 97p of every pound spent, according to Network Rail, is spent on running the network and 3p is investment. Can you explain that one to me and why we have this critical mass?
Yeah, I mean, so I thought it's the other way around. In that 97p goes back into the railway and 3% goes into a train operating company profits. Because obviously, the train operating companies are commercial entities. They have to make a profit in order to survive. But, you know, whichever way you look at it, the purse strings are handled by the government and the Department for Transport. And I suppose, there is a lot of investment going on. So, we shouldn't be ungrateful that we do have some electrification. We have Crossrail and HS2 and so on. But, you know, we're also in a situation where rail passenger numbers have doubled in the last 20 years. And investment is always playing catch-up because the railways have been starved of investment for decades. And we need okay. much more in order to get the railway we all want and deserve.
Well, OK, so a couple of quick things. Let's, to paraphrase a phrase of last year's general election, a magic money tree. Bruce, you've got a magic money tree. Mm. So I'm going to give you a black stick with white tips on it and you can go kapow. What would be the one thing that would change, be the game changer for rail transport in our part of the world?
I think electrification's got to be pretty high on the list because of the advantages I just mentioned. You know, they are more reliable, they're cheaper to run, they're cheaper to buy and so on. And we will enjoy faster journey times, mainly to London with electrification. Portishead's another obvious one. I'm a little bit more sceptical about Marvin's Underground Railway, but it would be very nice. And I think there's a very strong case for a link to the airport. And then, I suppose, my magic wish wand would just say, let's have sustained investment in the railways.
Okay.
Let's not have this feast and famine. Let's not treat the railways like the Cinderella service.
Interestingly,
and then we can have the railways that, you know, other European countries enjoy.
Interestingly, you didn't mention nationalisation.
No, because It has pros and cons. I mean, I mentioned that 3% of, you know, our ticket price is going to train operating company profits. But also I mentioned that the DfT is handling the purse strings. So if we renationalise tomorrow, it would still be the same trains run by the same people. And you wouldn't see much difference. Okay. Although, you know, the experience on East Coast has been very good.
OK, Bruce, thank you very much indeed. Bruce there in Hot Wells. Many thanks for your time this morning.